It's Tiger Daniel on 98.5 The Bull. Country music is having kind of a bit of a renaissance period. For a while there, a lot of people considered country music to be bro country. That's what seemed to be popular at the time. These are bands like Florida Georgia Line, bands that talk about dirt roads, trucks, beers, things like that. Well, country music's changing thanks to artists like Luke Bryan, Zach Bryan, Luke Combs, Chris Stapleton. It's kind of a more traditional sound. It doesn't sound so formulaic anymore. The YouTube page There I Ruined It, they did their impression of what bro country must sound like to people who don't really like bro country, featuring some AI. Here's what bro country sounds like to the non-country music listener.
Truck jeans, beer girl, creek boots, truck, tan legs, train doll, beer, Dixie cup. Got a beer in my beer and a Chevy in my truck. Got a dog at the wheel, cut off jeans, truck. Dirt road, bike road, beer, moonlight, red, white, and blue, girl, Friday night. I got my boots in the dirt, got the dirt from a dirt road beneath my truck. Got the dirt from my girl, she's got the dirt. I got the dirt, got the dirt from the truck. I got my girl, she's got the dirt. I got the dirt from the dirt from the beneath my truck. Got the dirt from my girl, she's got the boots and the dirt. Got the dirt from the dirt road. Got a beer in my beer and a Chevy in my truck. Got a dog at the wheel, cut off jeans, truck. Dirt road, bike road, beer, moonlight, red, white, and blue, girl, Friday night. Fish bait, tailgate, small town, y'all, pinks on, whiskey shot, fake, southern draw. Red dirt, amen, farm, double wide, beer, 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 and I'm proud of my pride. Got a beer in my beer and a Chevy in my truck, got a dog at the wheel, cut off jeans, the truck.
I'd be lying if I said that song wasn't going to be in my head all day long today. It's 98.5 The Bull.
Well, good morning. It's 98.5 The Bull with Tiger and Daniel. Welcome into Did You See? We take a look at what the heck's going on around the world and right here in Tulsa and the surrounding areas. And Quick Trip, you know, very prevalent around here. And each Quick Trip that I've seen has a sign that says Safe Place. And I noticed there's a camera right there as well. And so I thought it was a place where if you bought something on Facebook Marketplace, you know, and you have to meet up with somebody to sell your stroller or whatever, you go up there and then, you know, it's a safe place. Well, apparently I was totally wrong.
Well, you've been saying that for 2 years. You've been reporting that on the radio like, hey, guys, Quick Trip is designated as a safe place to do business.
Well, yeah, I mean, I still don't disavow that because I do believe that if you meet up at Quick Trip, there's like a million cameras and stuff. But there's a specific purpose. This is from News on 6.
Quick Trip has partnered with National Safe Place for over 30 years now, and they also work with community partners like Youth Services of Tulsa to get kids to safety when they are in need. Now, with National Safe Place, if someone between the ages of 12 and 17 feels unsafe and doesn't want to be out on the streets, they just have to go to a designated safe place like Quick Trip and tell an employee they need a safe place to be. Janetta Williams is the Safe Place Coordinator for Youth Services of Tulsa. She tells me places like Quick Trip are great at making sure its employees are prepared when a child comes in for help.
Quick Trip is really great about making sure that all of their employees are trained on what to do, because we have community responders that actually go out and get the young people. So Quick Trip knows that they check the IDs and they check the cards.
Quick Trip in a statement said, quote, "We are honored to support National Safe Place Week and the important work of the Safe Place program. At Quick Trip, safety is a top priority, and we believe that every young person deserves a safe and secure environment."
So there you go. That's what it's all about, too.
Oh, good.
How about that? Good for Quick Trip.
Look at that.
Hey, by the way, I know you don't care about sports, Daniel.
Not at all. Go ahead.
Major League Baseball started back. They had their first game in South Korea. You know, like the NFL does that too. They'll have a game in London every now and then. Mm-hmm. And so they started the baseball season off in South Korea. And there's a phenomenon out of Japan called Shohei Ohtani. And he plays for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And he's unique because he can pitch and he can hit home runs. Like, that's very unique in baseball. Usually pitchers just strike out. So he's worth They signed him for $700 million.
Get what? You're kidding. Is that a record?
Yeah, that's the number one paid player ever in history of baseball.
Is that a year or for the rest of his life?
He's got 10 years to do that.
Whoa, so
$70
man.
Million dollars
Get
a year.
Get out of here. Yeah.
Anyway, he can't speak English because he's Japanese, so he has this interpreter that follows him around everywhere. And so even when, like, he hits a home run and then the ESPN people are, like, asking him questions, there's this guy that's, like, you know, like, doing the interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
That guy stole $5 million from him. And what did he use that $5 million to do? Bet on sports.
Really?
Yeah. So it's a big dang mess. I mean, a huge mess.
Well, what's the mess? Just fire the guy.
They did. They definitely fired him. The problem is that if it comes out that that guy bet on baseball, he says he only bet on soccer. But if he bet on baseball, the sport that his buddy plays,
mm-hmm.
it caused all sorts of problems for this guy. Like you, Pete Rose, who was a famous baseball player, he, you know, they think he bet on some baseball games. They kicked him out of baseball. So it's a big, giant story right now.
So you're telling me if his translator bet on baseball, it will cause problems for the Japanese phenomenon?
Did he instruct his guy to do it? Probably not. But, you know, you never know with these things. I mean, this is becoming a very, very big deal in sports.
It's not the guy that's playing, though. It's his translator.
Yeah, but what if the guy who's playing instructed him to bet or something?
Okay, if you were playing Major League Baseball and your translator told you to do something, would you do it?
No, what I'm saying is, what if the player wanted to bet on baseball and he got his
translator? Oh, you're implying that perhaps the...
No, I'm not implying. I'm just saying, what if that's the case?
I mean, you can speculate on anything.
Yeah, you can. And, I mean, that's a huge deal right now going on. It's as big as that Kate Middleton controversy, like Prince William supposedly cheating on Kate Middleton and all this.
Well, keep me posted on that thing. I'd like to hear more about that. I've got a story here of good news and bad news. An Oklahoma family had their roof torn off. A contractor tore off the wrong roof. This was in Edmond, but the good news is he gave them a new roof.
Yeah.
The family got a free roof when a contractor mixed up the address and accidentally tore up a random home's roof. Thankfully, he made good on his honest mistake and gave the family a whole new roof for free. Here's Deborah and Scott and Doug, the owner of the roofing company, talking about the new free roof.
Oh, my gosh, we didn't order a roof. I think it was about 80% off when they realized the mistake. And that's when we get the phone call.
Oh, wow. How can we make this mistake? But here's what we can do to fix it. They were very gracious, very sweet. They understood. A little shocked, obviously.
It was really pretty funny.
Crazy.
I mean, we were a total advocate for him.
Those folks won a little tiny lottery there.
Yeah, they did.
Roof's expensive, man.
Turned out to be a good thing.
Heck yeah. I got a thing here, worst things to wear on a first date. New poll out. The worst things you could wear on a first date include a full tracksuit, Crocs, people don't like those, and a shirt that's way too tight, followed by an ankle socks with sneakers.
Ankles, really?
Yeah, but if you're wearing pants, I don't think anybody's going to notice if you have on ankle socks.
Ankle socks are the low ones, right?
What are romantic socks? Those over the calf? What kind of socks you wear over there?
Depends on the shoes I'm wearing. Like, if I wear shorts, I'm not wearing long socks. You know?
What are you wearing, ankles or the no-shows?
Yeah, I'm wearing ankles.
Did you see this? That Garth Brooks' bar, it opened in Nashville, and a pretty good overall rating. That some people a little upset about it. Guess what they were offended by?
Don't know.
A lady walks in there, and they're playing Apple Bottom Jeans. And she's like, wait a minute now. This, you don't play this in a honky-tonk.
Oh, I see. Because they're not sticking to country.
Well, yeah, but you're going to find that. Listen, people that listen to country music, especially when you go to Nashville, you're not going to go in there and they're only playing Hank Williams Sr. They're going to be playing a little bit of everything.
Back that thing up and stuff.
So far, it's got 3.8 stars out of 5 on Yelp.
All right, so that's 70 to 80% approval rate.
What else were they complaining about there? They didn't like the music. Somebody said the food took too long. Said it was the Chick-fil-A of honky-tonks.
All right, so if you make a pilgrimage to Nashville, go check out Garth Brooks' new place.
Well, or don't, because they could be playing some Flo Rida in there. You will be upset.
98.5 The Bull Weather, provided by Community Care, your locally owned health plan.
Dana, we had mentioned, I had mentioned last week, good morning, guys, it's Tiger and Daniel, that, I don't know why I see crimes in progress all the time, but it usually happens at Quick Trip. And somebody will come in, and they'll grab a case of beer, and then they'll walk out. And I saw a lady do that. And the employees, they can't do anything, which is a good policy, by the way. Mm-hmm. Like, don't chase a guy and risk your life because they stole a Modelo. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I'm cool with that policy. But the employees do have to just watch them go. And I saw this last week. And the guy was so casual about it. You know, I kind of get the idea that if I was going to steal a beer, you know, I'd have my cap real low and I'd run in and run out or whatever. But the guy last week, he just walks in like he's about to buy the beer, opens the case very slowly and gets his beer out and just walks out very, very calmly. And the employees see this and they don't chase him. So that's good. Yesterday, I get back from a little vacation I was on, and I said, I'm going to run up to Quick Trip. And so I went up to Quick Trip, and this is a new one, Daniel. This is a new layer to this whole thing. And so I'm at the counter, and I don't know what it is, but I don't know if you've ever had this feeling, but you just kind of know something hinky's going on. Like, somebody's acting a little strange.
So, in other words, you feel like you have, like, a spidey sense, or you get a sense if crime is about to happen.
I did. I noticed these three people walk in.
Uh-oh. Three people? Crime ring walked in.
This is the layer. Two ladies and a guy. And they just looked like they were going to do something.
And how's that?
They didn't seem like... I don't know how to explain it exactly. You know, you see the regular customers and, you know, the construction worker's getting his hot dog and then another guy's getting his bag of chips and another guy's getting a beer or whatever. And they seem, but this...
They were dressed like the Hamburglar?
This trio comes in and something was just off and I recognized that. And also the clerk recognized that. And they opened the beer case and they're in no hurry, by the way. And the first lady, she grabs two boxes of beer.
Two cases of beer, one might call it.
Then, does she run out of the store immediately? No, she does not. Mm-mm. She waits for her buddy, the other girl, to grab her two cases of beer. And then the guy that drove the getaway car, it turned out, he grabbed... Then they're all waiting, and one is even so courteous, she's holding the freezer door open. Mm-hmm. And they have six cases of beer. And I go, I bet they're not paying for that. And they just walk to the door. They're not running. In fact, I had finished checking out. Like, I was done ringing up. So I'm the next guy out behind the three stooges. And do they run to their car and, like, throw it in the trunk and go nuts? No, they go in there and they gently put it down. And they take their time. And what I found to be kind of crazy was... So they put this stuff in the trunk at the Quick Trip that they've just stolen. Like, there's no urgency here whatsoever. This is all casualness. And they put their stuff in the trunk and they stack it up or whatever. And then they get in the car and the guy starts the car. They're about to leave with their stolen beer. But before they do, he waits for everybody to put their seatbelt on.
Good.
I mean, like, you know, I always envisioned that if you're going to steal something, you get in and you get out. This was like a day at the park for them.
Well, not every heist is going to be a smash and grab. You know, you don't want to run in there acting crazy. That's how you get, like, busted.
Well, they were busted. The employees saw all this go down. Mm-hmm. But like I said, they're instructed, you know, you can't risk your life because somebody likes a Modelo every now and then.
Right. I asked you this a year ago. If you were in Quick Trip and you saw a guy clearly about to steal beer, but he's in a wheelchair, and he starts rolling toward the door, and you come in. Are you holding the door open for him?
Of course, I'm holding the door open for him. That's his business, not mine.
You're an accessory if you do that.
It's 98.5 The Bull. Good morning. It's 98.5 The Bull. Hey, good morning. I'm Tig, and there's Daniel.
A little bit of good news for me, Tig. A little bit of fortune.
Really?
Shines down on me this
morning.
You're
not supposed to say that, because now the universe will get
back. I'm not like you. I'm not a pessimist.
Okay.
So I'm in the Panera Sips Club. I've talked about this often. And I guess because people were coming in kind of like stealing and all that, they had started to put the cups behind the counter. Right. And I liked in the morning just being able to stop by and grab my cup and not have to like interact and wait in line and all that. They put them behind the counter. I'm unable to do that. I asked the manager yesterday if I could just bring my own cup in. I'm allowed now to bring in my own cup.
Oh, look at you go. Yeah, so. Wow, very special. So Daniel thinks he's...
Take that, buddy.
Daniel thinks he is above everybody else.
I'm a cock of the walk. I can take my own cup in there and get in, get out. Have you had any small victories lately?
Well, hey, I did my taxes.
Did you find out a little refund here?
Nothing like you got. Daniel, you've had some pretty good victories here lately. So, you know how you file your taxes and you get to figure out if you owe or not?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to owe. And I'm getting a little bit of a...
What are we talking about here? Just reveal the amount. Don't beat around the bush. Just tell us how much you're getting back.
It's one... Well, I don't want to say it because I don't want my wife to find out, because then I'm going to have to, like, buy her some.
Your wife makes more than you do. Knock it off with, I got to buy my wife something. She makes more than you.
$1,800.
Hey, now, listen.
$1,800.
I've recently discovered a strategy on TikTok when you go to the casino.
Mm-hmm.
At the roulette table, there's a way where you can bet $500, and he says you're almost guaranteed each time to win $100. Do you want to go down there?
Almost guaranteed, though.
Well, yeah. Do you want to go down there and do a little thing?
I would like to, yes. If I'm almost guaranteed to win $100, I'm
in. You're not guaranteed, but you're almost guaranteed.
But what do you mean almost guaranteed?
You know how, like, when you're 100% guaranteed?
Yeah.
This is almost that.
Yeah, it's
I need
possible.
To send you this strategy, and I want you to watch it. Maybe we can get on the internet and do one of those simulations. You know how you can get on there and do it at the roulette table. Maybe we can do one of these like simulations and see what would happen if we did 10 bets.
Yeah, let's practice with our tax refund before we go down there and do our tax refund, you know?
Like just me and you, or should we get like a group together and go?
No, just me and you, right?
That's a lot of money, though, man. $250 apiece each roll of the roulette wheel?
Oh, you didn't say that. We have to put $250 on a roll?
Are you confused? You have to bet $500.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But you win $100 each time, unless the forbidden happens.
I see.
Okay. I'm going to send you the strategy. I was waiting for you to get back so I could send this to you to see what you thought about it.
All right. Well, I'd like to see that.
We're going to do it?
I'm curious. Daniel's got this.
We're going to be so rich, dude.
Ear to ear right now.
I don't think you have what it takes to gamble anymore. Listen, Tiger and I used to go to the casino all the time, and it was a whole lot of fun. The second he finds out his wife was pregnant 8 years ago, fun stopped. Every time we would go to the casino then, every hand, he'd be like, oh, boy. What were you saying that one night?
Ay, ay, ay.
We were going to have like a last bash before Matt got here. And every hand of blackjack, he would go, ay, 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 this is diapers.
Well, I kept thinking, like, I just lost formula. I just lost
You didn't see money anymore. You saw formula. That's you saw diapers.
I was thinking in those terms. Absolutely. But I am very curious about your...
I'm going to send you this right now.
Okay.
I don't know if you... I'm not smart enough to explain it on the air, so I'll let you try to explain it.
Okay.
And then maybe we can do a simulation and see what would happen after, hands.
Like anything you do in life, you should practice it. Football players practice. Band people, they practice. I don't want to get into the live game until we practice.
All right. I'm going to send it to you now.
Okay.
And then you will evaluate the strategy and report back.
Okay. We'll see how it goes. Good morning, guys. It's Tig and Daniel.
Hey, good morning. It's 98.5 The Bull with Tig. And good morning, Daniel. It's 7:08 on a Thursday morning.
Look at you. You're back from your little vacation. Mm-hmm. Your voice seems to be back.
Yeah. I mean, mostly.
After a month illness, by the way.
Well, a caller told us that it would take 5 weeks to get your voice back. And I'm kind of coming out of this thing, so.
Now you're coming out of it, or are you back to normal?
Ish.
What does that mean?
I'm close. What do you mean, what does it mean?
When you say ish, I have to ask, what does that mean? Because it's not a word. And who's sick for a month straight?
I'm coming out of it ish. Daniel's all
I don't
want
to fuss at you about this again, because I've been like, get on some steroids and get this knocked out. And then I was like, did you take some steroids? Like, no, I was on vacation. Anyway, what I was trying to get to was you were out for like 3 days, and then people were like writing in, where's Dirty Bird? Where's Tig? So, like, people missed you. I'm trying to play you a compliment, and then you frustrate me with this, I'm coming out of it-ish.
You're trying to play me a compliment.
Pay you a compliment. I don't want to hear it. You've hacked and coughed on this radio station for a month now, and then I mispronounced the word pay.
You want to take a call?
Did you write back when people were like, where's Dirty Bird?
I didn't see it. I was in Broken Bow, which there's no internet service on my provider. It was bad down there.
There was no Wi-Fi at this cabin?
Yeah, there was.
Oh, so.
But I didn't
know. You know, you're doing one of these things that our old bosses we used to do. Like, I was traveling. I couldn't respond to emails because I was traveling that day. And we're like, dude, every airport in America has Wi-Fi. So you were down in Broken Bow with no internet at all, except for Wi-Fi.
I had internet, but I also made a conscious decision, like people should do, is to divorce myself from the cell phone for a few days.
And did you do that? Because I saw pictures of you at the cabin. You were on? That cell phone. I'm tired of you big time and your fans is what I'm saying.
Oh, my God. Get the heck.
Everybody's like, where's Dirty Bird? And too good for your fans.
Why are you so stupid?
Why don't you respond when somebody says no Dirty Bird? Where's Dirty Bird? And you don't respond.
And I will.
Stop big timing everybody.
On vacation. I don't respond on vacation.
Okay.
You want to take a call?
Yes, please.
Hey, what up?
Okay. I'm going to tear into you a little bit and then raise you back up.
Get it.
Ready for it.
Let's go.
So where were you yesterday?
Man, my kid's on spring break, so we took a little spring break trip to Broken Bow, Oklahoma, and got a cabin.
That's a good trip down there.
Yeah, it's nice.
Be careful, there's bears. You got bears down in southeast Oklahoma.
You know what? I never saw any wildlife whatsoever except a cardinal. Like, I was supposed to see a deer and all this, and nothing happened.
Well, we don't really appreciate you cutting out of work early because Daniel really can't run that place by himself.
Mm. What are you talking about, buddy? Well, I did a phenomenal job. What do you mean?
Burn.
Oh, you see how I tear you down and raise you back up, huh?
Well, I appreciate that. Daniel is a no-talent loser. I'll give you that.
Buddy. I'm playing clips like crazy off the internet.
Man, he's playing clips, and he just can't run that place by. And he cut out early. He cut out at 10:50 yesterday. Can you believe that?
How do you know he cut out at 10:50?
He said goodbye at 10:50. I looked at the clock. When he said goodbye, I'll see you later, he cut out. I'm like, come on, man.
Buddy,
he cut out of work early.
This show ends at 10. What do you mean 10:50?
You must mean 9:50.
You know what? I did. I did mean 9:50. Yeah. I had the clock in my truck rat.
This guy's crazy, see?
Yeah.
Well, he cut out 10 minutes early.
Well, I'm glad to be back. I kind of miss it when I'm not here. And so it's fun to be back. I'll be here. I don't know when the next time I'm leaving again, but I don't see it coming. And we're starting to sound a moolah very soon where we're giving away a bunch of money, so I certainly will be here for all that.
Well, I've never heard the show with just you, and Daniel's gone, but it's not the same without you. Daniel's great, but he needs an opera.
I don't know what the insult was, but his phone broke out. Well, I appreciate the call, man. Thank you.
All right.
You know.
It's 98.5 The Bull. It's almost 7:21. Hey, good morning there, Daniel.
Almost 7:21, otherwise known as 7:20. Tig and I are over here. I'd found this roulette strategy while he was out of town. And I said, man, we should try this. And we're trying to do it on a simulation online here. And there's just a complete communication breakdown. Tig can't watch the video and tell me where to place the bets based on the video.
Yeah, so a guy, he posted an Instagram video and said, you have a really good chance of winning at the casino if you play this roulette strategy.
Right.
But you have to place the chips in a certain way and all this stuff. And anyway, I'm telling Daniel, move your chip. You're putting it in the wrong place. This guy's doing a different thing. And Daniel gets all mad at me.
Because you can't communicate where to put the chips. Just like earlier you said, it's almost 7:21. When you look at the clock, you just read what the clock says and you say it's 7:20. You don't go, it's almost 7:21. You can't communicate. I can't do the strategy with you because you can't watch the video and repeat where to put the chips.
But I'm telling you where to put the chips and you keep putting them in the wrong place.
Because when I watch the video, I'm seeing what he's doing and what you're telling me is completely different.
No, it's not. That's our breakdown here.
The breakdown?
Anyway, our goal is to test this guy's theory
right
on a simulation. And if it works on the simulation, we will then go play live and we'll be rich. And if it works, we'll tell you guys about it or how it went for us.
But you don't seem to be able to know how to place the chips even after watching the
video.
What
do you mean I don't know how to? Like, Daniel, I'm watching the video And I say, put it on a number. And Daniel puts it on a different number.
No, like, because when I'm watching the video, I'm doing what he's saying, and you're saying something completely different.
You're not doing what he's saying. That's my point.
I think you got problems, buddy.
You got problems.
You do. You need help. You need help.
You need to have your head x-rayed.
You, me?
Yeah. You're wacky.
Buddy, when you say what time it is, you say it's almost a time. I'm worried about you.
It's almost 7:23 right now.
Just knock it off with that.
So we're going to test this strategy during the commercial.
You're going to do it over on your computer. You can't even get you said your phone won't load up the video that I'm trying to send you.
No. What I said was I got to reload it because it's only like a 20-second video, so I have to keep watching it to keep up with what he's doing.
All right. Well, listen, as my friend, can you please, let's figure this out so we can do the simulation.
All right, let's do the simulation.
I can't concentrate on anything else.
But anyway, this guy basically claims that if you do this certain thing at a roulette table, you can win some money.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to simulate this during the commercial break, and we'll come back and tell you how the simulation went.
Yeah.
If Daniel can follow basic instructions that a three-year-old can, which I'm not even sure.
Thank God you're not like a crossing guard or anything like that. I can't imagine how you would be. Go stop, go stop, go stop, go stop.
It's not me, buddy. It's you. So we'll come back to you. We'll tell you about the strategy. We're going to simulate it. And then if it works, you know, we're going to be all rich.
When are we going to go do this?
I'm game for this weekend if you want.
Let's leave at like 9 o'clock and go do it.
Because I cannot. Yeah. Okay. Today?
Oh, yeah.
During the morning?
I don't think you could figure out how to use the ATM, to be honest with you.
Are the roulette wheels open this early?
I don't know. I don't.
I think they got the, you know, monkey gambling machines and all that, but.
What is a monkey gambling machine?
Like a slot machine.
See how you are? Did you just hear what you just did? I was like, let's go do this roulette strategy. And you say, I don't know what time the slot machine opens. You're touched.
All right, we'll figure this out. We'll come back and we'll tell you if the simulation works or not. I suspect it doesn't.
Why do you suspect that?
Because the casinos are not, like, you know, it's in their favor, right?
All right, buddy. When I'm rich and you're on Skid Row, I don't want to hear about it.
All right, we'll check it out. It's 98.5 The Bull. We are Tig and Daniel.
98.5 The Bull weather, provided by Community Care, your locally owned health plan.
So Daniel got on Instagram, and there's this guy on Instagram that said he's got like a good way to make money in a casino by playing roulette, and it's a specific strategy. So Daniel's like convinced that we should go down there and try the strategy because we, you know, it's tax season, and you got a refund, and I got a refund, and you're like, hey, man, let's go down there, and let's see what happens with this. And so we got a simulator up, and you're playing this guy's exact strategy that he says can win you $100 every time the wheel spins.
80% chance you'll win.
80%. But see, that to me is tough because you have to invest $500 in order to get in on this.
Well, we have to get a group. Anyway, do you have pen and paper? Can you keep a tabulation really quick? We'll just fly through this and see what's going to happen.
All right, so you're going to spin a simulator roulette wheel, and I'll keep score.
Right.
How much money do we have right now in this simulation?
Let's just say we started off with $500.
Okay.
Us and three friends, we all put in $100 each. So
well,
we're starting
five
off.
Friends.
See, this is the communication breakdown again. Me and you and three friends.
Oh, me and you and three friends. I got you. Okay.
I need a new partner. All right, here we go. So we're going to put them in this place. I don't even know how to describe them, but they're like corners and things like that. Forget about it. If you want to know the strategy, send us a message on Tig and Daniel's Facebook page. I'll send you the video. We're starting out for right now, Tig, us and our friends, okay. $500. Ready? And for a spin?
Yeah, let's go. You got
audio. Plays. And we're out. And we're done already.
And it's gone.
It's gone.
You want to do one more? Can we try it again?
Okay, so then me and our friends, we're all going to go back now to the ATM and get out $100 more apiece.
So now we're back in for $500.
Yes, yeah, so we're $500 in the hole.
According to this foolproof Instagram
right.
strategy to win it. Roulette.
Okay, we must move quickly here. We got to give away these tickets to Blake Shelton. Are you ready to go here again?
I'm ready to roll.
Here we go. We've placed our bets again. Me, you, and the three dudes, or ladies, don't be sexist. We're all sitting around the table now. We bet again, and we've won $100.
Okay, so we're at $600.
Yes. Second roll. We've won another $100.
700.
Third roll. Ooh-wee.
800.
One more win and we're going to be to zero. We're going to be even. Okay, now we're back to even.
Okay, so we're, yeah, okay, I see what you're saying. We're back to our original investment.
Now, yes, here we go again. 100 up. 200 up. 300 up.
300, so we're down $200.
Yeah, so, all right. My strategy's wrong. I hate to concede here, but, yeah, that is not a good strategy.
Not the best way, but that's the way it goes. You know, I always, I don't go to movies and stuff, and I barely, like, do anything. So mm-hmm. when I go to the casino, which I love the casino, and I lose $200 or $300, I'm kind of like, well, there was, like, 90 times I didn't go to a movie. So I'm still up in the game of life, you know?
That was like 90 times you didn't go to a movie.
About how much it costs to go to a movie, but my entertainment, I do love going to the casino.
Here's my official statement. We're back to the old drawing board. Because that was, thank God we did this, you know, on the internet here, not in real life. Because our three friends would be trying to kill us now.
Yes. it's a sad day when you walk out of there.
Let me tell you this. Here's a bet that's a 100% chance you're going to win for somebody. When you play the 98.5 The Bull Fight for Blake Shelton. Tickets all for the hall is coming up March 30th. It's going to be Blake Shelton. It's going to be Ronnie Dunn, Vince Gill. Who knows who's going to show up at this show? And we want you there for free.
Yeah, I mean, this is the night that you never forget. And, you know, it's fun to go to concerts, but you usually pay one price and just see, like, you know, the main guy. But this is a chance to see all these people at once, right? So what a night to remember. And what are we going to play today, Daniel?
Today, another homonyms quiz.
All right.
Homonyms are words that have the same spelling and pronunciation, but different meanings.
Let's see. All right. So let's play this. Looking for you, caller 9. Looking for you, caller number 10. 918-879-9898. 918-879-9898. Let's get rolling on the bullfight right now. With Tig and Daniel, it's 98.5 The Bull.
I follow in the cab of my truck.
And here we are. It's the bullfight, Daniel, and it's a heck of a win today, really.
This is going to be a show right here, March 30th. Blake Shelton's coming to town. All for the Hall. It's a concert to benefit the Country Music Hall of Fame. He's going to be bringing people like Ronnie Dunn with him from Brooks and Dunn. He's going to be bringing people like Vince Gill. We want you to be there for free. We've got Doug on line 1, Jesse on line 2. Good morning, Doug. Works in road construction. Where are you working at today?
Claremore.
I don't know if you've ever been to Tulsa, but it seems like they're working on every single road.
We do our best.
Yeah, they're working hard, Daniel.
I'm not saying they're not, but, like, what is that, guys? What's happening?
What's happening?
I'm hearing a noise there. Also, Jesse on line 2. Jesse, you work at Casey's General Store. You guys have a heck of a pizza down there. I can't lie. It's very delicious.
Decker, I'm on the phone at the radio station. Will you go around me?
Oh, no. He stopped in the road?
No, I'm at work.
Oh, you're at work?
He's at Casey's right now.
Well, this is off to a banging start, guys. I got to tell you. Here we go. These are homonyms. These are words that have the same spelling and pronunciation but different meanings. We'll start with you, Doug. This is a wooden shoe or to block or congest.
A clog.
Clog is correct. Jesse, this is a British sport or a type of insect?
A British sport or a type of insect?
That's right.
Insect.
Oh, insect?
Correct.
I don't know.
That would be cricket. Cricket.
Dang it.
Doug, this is a set of stairs or an air journey.
A set of stairs or a what?
Air journey.
Air journey.
Air journey.
A journey through the air, you know.
A flight.
Flight is correct. Can you guys hear me? You don't have the music going down the line, do you?
No.
There's music playing.
I don't.
All right, Jesse. This means... What did he say? This means hasty or skin irritation.
A rash.
Rash is correct. Jesse on the board. Doug. This is a ghost or liquor.
A ghost or a what?
Or liquor.
Liquor? Booze.
Looking for spirit. Spirit.
Oh, spirit.
But booze was pretty booze. Good. Like, you know, because they do say booze.
I thought so.
You guys booze. Call ghosts yeah. booze?
Well, don't they say boo?
They say boo, but they're not called boo. Up next.
Hey, that's my boo.
Doug, you got it wrong. We must move on now to Jesse.
Okay, all right, already.
Jesse, Tig known for having a big one of these, either dried plum or to trim a bush.
Prune.
Prune is correct. Doug.
Yes, sir.
This is a group of ships or another word meaning swift.
A fleet.
Fleet is correct. Jesse. This
yes.
is a part of the hand or a tropical tree.
A palm.
Palm is correct. We are tied up, guys. 4-4. Doug, final question. This is a part of a tree or a large suitcase or chest.
A trunk.
Trunk is correct. Jesse, it all comes down to this. Get this one correct and you've tied Doug or you have lost. This means up to date or the flow of electricity.
Up to date or the flow of electricity?
That is correct. Help out, Jesse, Tug.
Current.
Current. And with
current.
That, Doug has defeated Jesse in the 98.5 The Bull fight. Doug, you've got a tough decision to make now. Will you hold on to these tickets to see Blake Shelton at the All for the Hall concert at the BOK Center March 30th, or will you give them to Jesse, who works at Casey's General Store? Jesse, why should Doug give you the tickets this morning?
Because that's my birthday.
All right. Doug, you heard it from Jesse. That's his birthday. But the decision is yours.
Man, he's making it tough, but I think I'm going to have to keep them.
Doug is going to keep those tickets. Who are you going to take to the show with you, Doug?
My wife.
All right, what's your wife's name?
Kelly.
Kelly, as we like to do, now we're going to give you the floor, and you'll tell Kelly on the air here that you guys have won tickets, and then just whisper some sweet nothings into her ear. Go ahead. Take the floor, Doug.
Hey, baby, we just won tickets to Blake Shelton. I love you.
Keep going.
Keep going.
Keep going, Doug.
I'm sorry that you're getting older.
Oh, okay. Let's cut it off here. Doug, what are you trying to get a divorce? All right, Doug.
I'm sorry you're getting older.
What? All right, Doug. Just do me one last favor. Give me three numbers and an animal.
98.5 The Bull.
Morning, it's Tiger Daniel. This is 98.5 The Bull. Hello, Daniel.
When you were young, you were in elementary school. Did your parents ever be like, hey, they are playing, they're giving me, you're giving you too much homework? Were they ever like, oh man, Tiger, what are they doing here? They're giving you too much homework.
No, they didn't care.
They didn't one time say that, did they?
No, they didn't care.
I got a clip here. I played this yesterday when you were out of town. This dad in Ohio thinks that they're giving his kid too much homework in elementary school. So much so that he calls the school to complain. Then, didn't get the answers he wants, he calls the police. Wow. What a father.
Wow.
To call the school over and over and then call the police department trying to get less homework for his kid. Where was this guy when we were growing up? Mm-hmm. Here's a clip.
Basically, the parent didn't like that his child was getting homework, so he decided he was going to call the school and call the school repeatedly over and over again. He calls dispatch, I think it was 18 times, roughly.
I want to talk to the chief.
Leave a voicemail if he doesn't answer.
I'm being very nice.
Well, then come to the police department, and we'll call the chief in, and you can talk to him in person.
I pay for him. He can come to my house.
Well, I'm going to send some officers out to your house to talk to you in person since you won't stop calling.
You probably don't want the police coming to your house.
Yeah.
But could you imagine that he calls the police to report that his kid's getting too much homework?
What was his frustration that, was he concerned about his kid's lifestyle or was he concerned that he had to help his kid with homework and it was ruining his day?
The guy kind of sounds like he might be a control freak.
Yeah.
He's called the police department 18 times on account of homework.
Mm-hmm.
He might have some issues going on.
I did see, it was like on 60 Minutes one night on CBS News on 6, and they did a study or they were interviewing, like, you know, which countries have the best education system. And the one with the best, they didn't give the kids homework. They wanted them to have, like, a well-rounded, like, life, even when they're 8. Like, you know, they've been at school from 7 until 2. Do you really want them to do homework after that?
Well, I got in trouble one time because I was on the air saying that I don't know any other job, which sure you do some work at home, but I don't know any other job where you work 8 hours, say at Dairy Queen, and then you go home and have another 2 to 3 hours you have to do for free.
Yeah.
But then people got mad at me about, you know, who does homework? I remember one time my dad called the police. I didn't get enough homework. He was like, hey, you got to give this guy more homework.
Keep this kid busy. He's bothering me.
18 times he's called the police.
8:05 on this Thursday, March 21st, with Tig, and good morning to you, Daniel.
This is a thing where I do here that's going to make you uncomfortable. We're going to play a new song, Tig.
Uh-huh.
Tig and I famously got into a pretty bad argument over playing Beyonce's song a couple of weeks ago. I would like you to, this is going to be crazy to you, this is a new song, though. I would like you to play the entire song, not just a clip.
Okay.
I know it makes radio programmers very nervous to play a new song. The reason we're going to play this is because it's blowing up on Billboard, all the streaming charts. I mean, we have to start recognizing whenever a song is like the 13th most popular song on TikTok, like they've accomplished something there, right?
Mm-hmm.
There must be something to that.
Okay.
Are you nervous about playing a new song?
No, not really.
When we played Beyonce, you were like, that's three minutes and 30 seconds, dude.
No, you're like...
Did you say that yesterday?
By the way, it's 98.5 The Bull.
Yeah, Tyga Daniel.
No, my question about the Beyonce song mm-hmm. was, is it a good song?
Okay.
It wouldn't matter if Beyonce sang it or you sang it. I just want to know if it's a good song.
Then why did you comment that it was 3 minutes and 30 seconds? Like, you felt like that was too long.
Because I didn't want to play a bad song for 3 minutes and 30 seconds. If it was bad, I didn't know if it was bad. I didn't know if it was good. But that was my only question. Is it a good song or not? And if it's a good song, we should play
it. Okay, so if the best song in the world were 4 minutes, would you play it? Or would you cut it off and just play a clip?
But a crappy song, I would play like 10 seconds of it and go, okay, we don't like it.
Well, music god, Tig Rogers here. You can go ahead and relax your sphincter. This is only 2 minutes and 47 seconds, okay, so this is good for you.
All right, so you want to introduce it?
Yes, it's called Austin by Dasha.
All right, here it is on 98.5 The Bull, brand new music. Good morning, guys. What do you make of this?
I was trying to be cool by playing this song. It's Dosha, not Dasha. I don't know. That's what Dana's telling me. It's pronounced Dosha. Anyway, Tig, you are the music gatekeeper to Tulsa and surrounding areas. You are the one that determines whether or not songs are good, as you previously stated. So please, Your Majesty, the music gatekeeper, what are your thoughts on that song?
Extremely strong song.
All hail the king.
Yeah.
The music gatekeeper is back.
That's pretty... Pretty good song, and I like that it's 2 minutes and 47 seconds.
Knock it off with how long it is. What is the deal with people in radio worried about if a song is too long?
Well, because we have to talk, and we're trying to keep things on time, and we got commercials to play and all that. Yeah. And, all right, you know what, Daniel?
I don't like.
I used to be your boss.
You used to and are no longer. How did that happen? The music gatekeeper. He's determined now Beyonce not good enough to play, but
no,
Dosha
is. I never said that. But when we got into the fight over Beyonce, all I said, and it's the same standard I have for any song, would be, is it a good song? And if it's not a good song, we should not play it.
If Kenny Chesney puts out a song, you'll play it no matter what.
No, that's bullcrap.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
That's nonsense. You're full of, you don't know what you're talking about. Kenny Chesney has like 9,000 songs, of which 30 we play, okay?
Okay. But you wouldn't question that. Anyway, listen, Gatekeeper, I just want to know if you like that song or not.
No, that's a good song.
That is a good song.
I think
and
so.
And you love that it's only 2 minutes and 47 seconds.
Yes.
Is that how you determine the quality of music by the length of the song?
Well, I don't want them to carry on. You know, we got
Gatekeeper, please. You're right.
Yeah, a lot of people get on and they carry on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember hearing a story about this song called, what's the song called? It's American Pie.
Don McLean's American Pie. Now, let's hear the Gatekeeper's criticism of American Pie.
No, what I was going to say is that DJs back in the day, if they needed to go to the bathroom, they would put that song on because they had like 9 minutes. Because like they knew they could run to the bathroom and come back and the song would still be playing.
So you would probably pull the Eagles aside and go, hey, guys, Hotel California is good, but let's get it down to about 3 minutes.
Yeah, like we got the gist. Like we don't need to go on and on. Mm. It's a great song. Love that song. However, it doesn't need to be 7 minutes long.
I hear you. This guy would probably rush Picasso through a painting. Like, come on, buddy. You need to paint this in 2 minutes.
Yeah, like, hurry up, man. Like, let's get this in the gallery. And you know.
I agree with you. I think Austin by Dosha, Dasha, whatever it is, I think is a good song.
Is she country? What is her story?
And then, you know, you get this debate then about whether something's country or not. I don't know how to determine. If I sometimes look up a definition of country music, what would you say it was?
It's hard, man. It's more like... you've got to hear it and decide whether or not it appeals to you in a sense that does it feel country? I don't know. That felt country to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it also felt like there's a lot of crossover now. Like, you know, Morgan Wallen, we're playing him on K-Hits.
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you, being the music gatekeeper, would allow that to happen. His Majesty, the King, is here. He's back.
I'm not in charge of this place. Like, I'm a worker bee, buddy.
That's right. Remember that next time I want to play a song, and don't fight me and just play a clip.
I'm at the bottom of the totem pole, man. I just work.
You're beneath the bottom. There's rats, then you.
Wow. It's 98.5 The Bull. So Daniel and I, he claims we got into a fight over that Beyonce song or whatever. And I was like, I don't know if he played it or not. Because my only threshold is it a good song? It had nothing to do with Beyonce.
And here's my point. Who are you to decide?
Luke Bryan has 1,000 songs.
Okay.
Most of which we probably don't play. If you listen to his albums and stuff, like, I just wanted to know if it was a good song. And then Daniel says, I didn't want to play it and all this bullcrap.
Let's just answer the question legitimately. Who's to decide what is a good song and what is not a good song? Is it you, the music gatekeeper?
They say music is polysemic, right?
Whoa, what?
Yeah. Like Hotel California or Going Gone from Luke Combs might mean one thing to one person and another thing to another person. So you might hear Hotel California and it reminds you of your ex.
Is Hotel California polysemic or not?
Polysemic. let's see. So we just played a song by Dasha.
Now there's some debate on what the name, how to pronounce the artist. So if
I thought it was a really good song.
How do you pronounce it though? Dosha, Dasha?
Dasha, I think.
Dasha.
And it was a killer song.
It's blowing up on TikTok, like the 13th most popular song on TikTok.
Yeah.
Blowing up on the radio charts. So we played it. We want to know what you think.
Good morning, Ty and Daniel.
Hi, this is Sherry. I just wanted to tell you I really like the song by Dosha.
It's Dosha. How come it's spelled D-A?
I said Dasha. Hold on. So how do you pronounce it? What's your name?
My name is Sherry, and honestly, I don't know. I was just repeating what you said. I'd never heard the song before today.
Internally,
but it was really good.
Now, Dana's saying it's Dosha?
It's Dasha. And that's what I texted.
Dasha?
I texted you Dasha, D-O-S-H-A.
That's Dosha.
No, that's Dasha.
So Dina's our boss, and so you're saying
she
it's
don't know what's going on
right
either.
Into the microphone there, Dina.
Dasha.
Dasha.
I said Dasha.
No, you said Dasha. And then you said Dosha. You said everything Dasha. But Dasha.
Dasha.
I thought it was pretty good. Yeah. The music gatekeeper. So you agree with the music gatekeeper, Tig, that this is a good song?
It is a good song. I hope you play it again.
All right.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty strong. Thank you for the call. So there you go. Maybe we'll hear more of Dasha.
Before you go here, I want you to hear this. Also, I have to play all this stuff for you that you missed earlier in the week. Did you hear that YouTube channel we like, There I Ruined It? They did Baby Got Back as though it were sang by Simon and Garfunkel. Did you hear this?
No, I would love to hear that, though.
Here we go.
I like big butts, I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. When a girl walks in with an itty-bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung, cause you noticed that butt was stuffed. You pull up tough, deep in the jeans she's wearing. What you gonna do with all that junk? All that junk inside that trunk. I'ma get you drunk.
Transitions to My Humps by Black Eyed Peas.
Is that AI? What is that?
I guess, man. What you gonna do? Amazing, isn't it?
All that S inside them jeans.
Sounds just like Simon and Garfunkel, by the way. And they didn't sing that.
Now, like, yeah, it translates here.
My hum, my hum, my hum.
Who's got the time to put that together and make it sound so good?
That is so silly. But so, like, almost I could listen to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
What a great song. It's 98.5 The Bull with Tig and Daniel. Now, tomorrow we're back, Daniel. We got some great tickets with us because it's Blake Shelton, for crying out loud.
Blake Shelton's All for the Hall show. Vince Gill's going to be there. Ronnie Dunn, Wade Hayes, and more. I mean, who knows who's going to come? Is there a chance, Tig, that Gwen Stefani will come out?
Absolutely. I would say 100%.
I would love to see Gwen Stefani.
This is a big event in Blake's life. I would imagine his wife would want to be there to participate.
March 30th at the BOK Center, just down the street here. I'm going to go ahead and predict that she will be there and she will come out. And I wish she would do a couple of No Doubt songs if she does come out.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
She could sing Back That Thing Up or something, just like Simon and Garfunkel did their little cover of something.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. That's tomorrow at 7:40 with our bullfight right here with Tig and Daniel. Daniel, I'm kind of mad at you. It's 98.5 The Bull because when my son, Daniel's my son's godfather. Me and Daniel have been tight for 20 years or so. And one thing he would say to my son, he's like, don't be a rat.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that sentiment?
I'm conflicted because I don't want him to be a rat, but also if he needs to tell you something, he should tell you something.
Yes, it's a, but Daniel would always say to my son, don't be a rat.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be a rat.
That's and actually, cool. he's not a rat because when we did Pizza Tig, that's where I got a picture of Tig photoshopped, put it in local pizza places around town. In fact, I was at Andolini's on Cherry Street just yesterday, and I look up there, Pizza Tig's still there.
So a picture of me in a pizza joint that you put up secretly.
Right. And I showed your son the picture, and 2 weeks these things are up in these pizza places around town, and he didn't tell you.
Yeah, he kept a secret.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we take a vacation. It's spring break for a lot of kids right now. We go to Broken Bow, Oklahoma. Wonderful place. And we rent a cabin. And it's us and like three other couples. So there's like 900 kids there. And in the backyard, there's tons of rocks. Like not big rocks, but probably the size of like a marble kind of rocks. And these kids, you know, they get bored, so they start throwing rocks. Just throwing rocks, just heaving them out in the woods or whatever. And I wake up the next morning, and I go start to take a shower, and I look up. The window's broken.
Uh-oh.
And I said, oh, boy, one of those boys has thrown a rock through the window. And, man, I went and told my wife, Brittany, I said, listen, our window's broken. And, you know, when you rent a house, if you damage it, you got to pay for that stuff. And I said, I want to know which one of these boys threw a rock through a window. And so each set of parents interrogated their own kids. And guess you're never going to believe what happened. None of them know nothing.
They stuck together.
None of them know nothing.
I love it.
Yeah, but I want them to be honest and be like, you know, oh, yeah, Daniel threw it through the window. Mm-hmm. And so I could not figure out if they were being truthful and nobody really knew what happened, or if they said, oh, geez, we've broken a window, so let's stick together and not be rats together. And that might be a function of your influence.
Good.
What do you mean good?
That's good.
You have to pay $100 for a window because...
Yes. Every child goes through a little phase where they break a little bit of glass.
I did it.
And I don't know if you noticed this or not yesterday, but I said, all right, well, just whisper in my ear who did it.
Yeah, what did he say to you, by the way?
I'm not a rat.
Yeah.
Daniel, I'm telling you that I'm not a rat.
Daniel says, hey, Mac, which is my son's name, come tell me who did it. And he went over and whispered something into your ear. Mm-hmm. What did he say?
He leaned into my ear. He goes, I don't know. So he's like, even with me, he's not being a rat. So listen, I want to know who you suspect broke the glass.
I have suspicions, but I'm not going to talk about
suspect?
It on the radio.
Do you suspect it's your own child or one of the others?
The reason I don't suspect it's my own kid. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of parents are oblivious, or they at least try to ignore that they might have a bad kid. I'm not that. I confront it. I'm like, yeah, Mac misbehaves. I want to know. But when I brought up the window, I pulled Mac into the bedroom of this cabin. And I said, what do you know about the window? And he didn't know what I was talking about. And you kind of know your own kids. Like, he didn't start getting fidgety. He goes, what do you mean about the window? And I said, do you know anything about a window? What do you mean about a window? Like, I guess he thought I was asking, what a window is. To me, he didn't have any signs. And I've caught him before doing stuff that I knew he did. Like, you told me one time you were jumping on furniture. And your dad came in and said, Daniel, were you jumping on the furniture? And you said no, but he knew you were lying.
He said, I'm going to ask you one more time, and if you're honest with me, you won't get in trouble. Were you jumping on the furniture? I said, I was not, Daddy. I had been jumping on the furniture, so then I got a whooping.
Yeah, because he knew.
Because he knew, yeah, and when he questioned me twice, I should have known when he's very specific about it.
So, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's my son, but that's what every parent would say. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to be totally unbiased.
I've looked on Amazon here. Do you know that on Amazon now, you can buy a lie detector test?
Oh.
Now, wouldn't that be an awful thing to have around the house?
Oh.
Because you'd be breaking that thing out all the time.
If my wife hooked me out of that, I'd just throw in the trash.
I think that, I don't think Mac knows who broke the window.
I don't believe he does.
We should do a podcast and interview all these kids and try to, a true crime podcast, and get to the bottom of who broke the window.
But every kid in that house, so there were 7 kids.
All right, listen.
And they all either didn't know or they all stuck together in some kind of pact.
Let's get those 7 kids in here. And I think they'll all be, loyal to each other until you break out money. And I bet if we were to say, okay, guys, whoever tells us who broke the window is going to get $100. I believe they'd start to, turn on each other?
Yeah, so that was my weekend. It was really fun, but then part of it was interrogating children.
Well, why didn't y'all just let them be? Did you break any glass when you were a kid?
I did. But see, the difference is I fessed up. And I told my dad, and he was super irritated, but...
So you've told your dad anytime you ever did anything wrong, you just admitted to it?
No, but...
My dad went out of town one day, and they hit a clock on the wall in his shop, and I shot it with a bow and arrow on accident. And he came in, and he said, what happened to the clock? Who shot it with a bow and arrow? I was like, it was not me, Daddy. I swear to God.
So you think the kids might have, a compact... Where they've all agreed to keep quiet.
You know, he's 8. He's getting to this age now where they have their own little society, mm-hmm. You remember what it's like to be 8, 9, 10 years old?
Yeah.
You start to get your own little society and, little packs and little things going on. I do kind of lean toward it. He doesn't know, but I also think he wouldn't rat out his buddies.
Yeah.
Because they're real close. You know, you had a weekend in the woods together, you and your buddies, mm-hmm. when you're that age. That's the best times of your life, I think. So he ain't going to rat on his buddies, his new friends.
If they did break it, they outfoxed the parents because we just don't
know. How do you guys know one of the parents didn't do it?
We don't, it's not a bad point. However, I don't think 40-year-olds throw rocks at windows, but.
Y'all don't?
I don't think so, but.
Was there any beers on this trip?
Yeah, there was a few.
I think it's one of y'all.
These people got into, like that tequila too. Ooh. So who knows what happens.
Definitely one of y'all.
I don't do all that stuff, but it's 98.5 The Bull with Tig and Daniel. Hey, good morning. Full swing down. It's 98.5 The Bull with Tig and Daniel. Hey, good morning, guys. Here we are sitting on Thursday, so looking forward to the weekend. Got to get through Friday. Nobody works on Friday anyway, so really it's kind of the weekend, right?
We pretend to work, yes. But we really don't. Yes. Got a message on Facebook from a lady named Amity. She says, love you guys. Love your morning show. I'm reaching out for help because I run Helpless Hounds, and we're out of fosters for some of our puppies. Desperate need, she says, to get more help for this organization. I said, sure. How can we help? Because as we all know, Tig, I am the wind beneath Tulsa's wings. Mm-hmm. People always say that. Mostly me.
I've never heard anybody say it.
I says, sure. How can we help? She says, ask the community to foster and adopt. She says, I know I'm not the only rescue who is drowning. We're breed-specific for long-eared hounds. Every rescue in town has way more dogs in their program than they do fosters or adopters. Mm. So I would encourage you to go to Helpless Hounds on Facebook or helplesshounds.com and help them out with this. I can't imagine working in a place and dogs come in, you get attached to them, and then, you know, the worst.
That's got to be tough. You know, I read that veterinarians have a hard time.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
As well, like, you know, that they're having to do, they love animals. That's why they went into it. But you got to make tough decisions. And it sounds like a good cause you're talking about.
She was saying that spring break's just killing them at these places that people are maybe out of town or something like that and not adopting and fostering dogs. Keep that in mind, too. When you're fostering a dog, you don't have to, you don't keep it forever. You're just helping out for a little while.
Yeah, and then you get attached, and yeah, that stinks. However, it's a great service to do if you can. Daniel claims to be the wind beneath Tulsa's wing or some bullcrap.
This lady messages me, and I said, sure, how can we help?
Here it goes.
You are the wind.
Tulsa's.
My wings.
Right. I'm the wind beneath Tulsa's wings. You're the wind in Tulsa's pants.
I don't even know what that means.
Me neither, but it sounds weird. Helplesshounds.com. Why don't you go foster a dog?
Helplesshounds.com.
Why don't you go foster one?
I would definitely consider
here,
that.
Here comes the excuses. You would consider it. I want you to vow right now that you would go
like,
do it.
If I'm honest, like, I would be concerned I would be attached to little Teddy or whoever it was. And then I couldn't give him up, you know?
Yeah, well, all right. That would be good. That would help her out, Amity out at helplesshounds.com.
Helplesshounds.com. Good stuff.
98.5 The Bull Weather, provided by Community Care, your locally owned health plan.